Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. I think the thing we should start with, Matt, it's good to see you.
Good to see you.
Where, I guess you're still away, right?
Yes, I'm at my in-laws' place. We left Orlando. We're in Tarpon Springs now.
That's Florida.
Yes, by the Sponge Docks.
When are you coming back?
The family's going now. I'm going to be back on Thursday, and okay. I'll be doing Wednesday show from here also.
That's nice.
Yeah, we're chillaxing, man. We had a good time. You know, but what about the freaking fights, Jimmy?
Well, I'll tell you what's not nice is I'm looking, I'm going to have to pick two more than you, like just to catch up, because you have nine and I have seven. We're really neck and neck. I'm one win, six losses. You're three wins, six losses in our picks. Very difficult to pick fights, but you did pick obviously better than I did, which is not saying much.
Yes, I like that. That makes me
now happy. Which one do you want to start with? Because I believe we have Ray Longo coming in. So if you want to wait for Ray, oh, he's in the waiting room. Well, look at this, right on time. How do you not love Ray?
What time is it now? It's 2:01. He's actually a minute late.
He might have been there already, though. They might have just been lollygagging, talking to him. Who knows, Matt?
Wait a minute. I bet your money he's at his academy now. He's at Law MMA. Guarantee it. What do you think? What's the odds?
I think he's home.
Okay.
You might be right. Well, you know Ray. There he is.
Oh, Jimbo. I was looking for a nice romantic hour with you. This guy had to come back. Jimmy, I had the whole thing. He had a little FOMO, I think. He changed his mind. I wanted to sit and talk to you nicely. Now we got to act like buffoons when we're doing the podcast. It's horrible. Sarah, how we feeling, buddy?
I'm feeling great. How are you feeling? We just got started.
Yes.
How does it feel, Mr. Ray Longo, that we thought you could walk off to the sunset with three champions, me being your first, but it looks like you might have a fourth champion coming up. How does that feel?
That feels pretty fucking good, I'll be honest with you. And plus, you got to remember, he's definitely going to fight for the title. And even though we got three champs, Quinta did fight for the title, which I think is a big deal. And he fought very well for the title on 24-hour notice. So I never want that to go unnoticed, because I put that right up there with everybody else. And of course, everybody loves Al. But it's the same thing. Just to have five guys fight for the title is huge, I think. Even huge. Forget about even winning the title. But it all started, Jimmy, with your little friend.
It all started
with a dream. With a dream back in 2007 when the whole world was against us, Jimmy. And that son of Rocky Balboa, he believed in himself. And he said it, and he manifested it. It's hard to even compliment him when I look at him now. But I mean, it's
a, yeah. No, talk about him like he's not here. Talk about him like he's not here. Compliment him like he's not here.
But I will say this: without Matt Serra, there's no Ray Longo, and there's no Serra Longo team. And he set the tone for everybody else.
yep.
to believe they could do it. And he did for Long Island. It's a big, big deal. And he got it going and everybody else believed, you know, he set that in motion. So, you know, we don't get to talk about it a lot because everything, you know, time just rolls and you're going from one fight to the next. But I want to say it now while I have him because, you know, it's just I really appreciate everything he's done for me, too. So
I honestly, Jimmy, I like it better when he's attacking me. I'm not good with the compliments. We,
I this know.
The first time I got one.
It's so funny. Matt was just saying this, too.
We got plenty of time for that. Don't worry about it.
And Merab, we might as well start with Merab because I mean, Matt and I both obviously picked him to win. And I thought it would be a 29-28, like a close. Cejudo's a tough guy. He's got a very high fight IQ. He did land on Merab well in the first, but Merab is just it's crazy the adjustments and the gas tank. And he really is the machine. It's probably the best nickname in MMA where once he gets into his rhythm, was he backing up a little bit more than normal in the first? Did he approach this one a little differently?
You know, again, I'm going to say this a couple of things with Merab, just before I even answer that. I don't like the 3-round fights for that very reason. You know what I mean? You lose the first round and then your back's up against the wall. Like in a 5-round fight, I don't think Henry sees the 5th round. You could see. And then that first round wouldn't have been a concern, but you're going scoring. So, like, in that second round, he zigs when he should have zags, and he trips again or he falls. You lose 2 rounds, then you got to get rid of the guy. You got to knock him out. So that I didn't like. But I think, look, he did his camp with John Wood. So I think, you know, if you talk to John, he's going to tell you, like, I'm not changing anything, but maybe try to calm him down a little bit. So I think maybe that's what you see. But I think when it's all said and done, when Merab's going forward and he's putting that pressure on you, I don't think anybody could stop him. You have to really knock him out or he's just going to be on you the whole night.
And it's normal, Jimmy, that guys at normal people are not the same in the third round as the first round.
Right.
And if anything, if you've seen the fight with Merab talking to Mark Zuckerberg and the audience, picking him up, walking him over, I'll tell you right now, he's probably better in the third round than he is the first. He gets stronger. Yeah. I know that's like almost a cliche, like this guy gets stronger as the fight gets on. This is one of the rare, you know, instances that it's true. He actually he just can do that all night, you know? So you've seen, and you heard, I'm sure you watched it by now, Longo, on tape, but you heard Joe, that's funny.
He's carrying.
You heard Joe Rogan saying, imagine if this was a 5-round fight.
Yeah.
Imagine. And that was on the 3rd round when Henry was smushed up against the cage.
Yeah.
So, like, sometimes you just got to get your, that first round is a bit of even a feeler a little bit.
Yeah.
You got to get your feet underneath you. So,
yeah, and also respect for.
We've seen him lose the first round before. You know what I mean? So, it's not like that's unusual, but when you love to fight, Jimmy, like, he loves to fight. He's not. Yeah. Like, some guys are apprehensive, they're nervous, you know. It's the complete opposite. He's got such a love for fighting, and it matches his personality with everything else, and a good gas tank. This is what you see. I mean, the guy's laughing. He's fighting a gold medal winner, and he's having a great time. You're not seeing that with a lot of guys. You're just not.
And maybe that pace in the first round too, maybe that really was out of a little respect for Henry's power, because Henry still can hit. I mean, and you don't want to run in and just try to impose your will with a guy who does have knockout power. And one of the things, Henry taking 3 years off, you know, in his prime, it's tough when you're a fighter. You know, I mean, like Ted Williams or DiMaggio, those guys. But when you're a fighter, it's a different. Yeah. Those 3 years make a much bigger difference than they do when you're playing baseball. Or something else. So I think that really has hurt Cejudo. But Merab undoubtedly earned a title fight 5 fights ago, but now it's undeniable. Everybody sees it's undeniable. He's gonna get the winner of O'Malley.
100%. Hey, Cheeto. Jimmy, let me bring something up that you said. I just want to touch on it. What a great analysis. I mean, not analogy that way, but DiMaggio and Ted Williams were taking out of the prime of their career, though. That was the real prime of their career.
Yeah.
And those guys came back and set records. And you're right. It's baseball. You're not getting hit. But Muhammad Ali also, when he didn't want to go to the war, and he came back and look what he did. So
that's right. You're right.
You know what I mean? So that is fighting, and it could be done. I think I don't know. I don't. You're bringing up Williams and DiMaggio. I almost get sentimental because, like, DiMaggio, it's all I heard growing up from my father was how good he was and how he went out on top. He didn't linger around too long. And that's why I always bring up the Khabib thing, man. He got out on top. He's got nothing to prove. And God bless him.
Let me tell
you. So I'm sorry, Matt. I didn't think about Ali, though. And Ali came back and beat Foreman. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, you're right. I hadn't considered Ali. So, yeah, I guess it can be done when you're taking that. But Ali's thing was different. He was kind of forced to take that. Whereas who knows why Henry did it. He just decided to do it.
Right.
Maybe there's a different mindset. I don't know.
I think Henry did it because he thought everybody would want him back.
Yeah.
And that didn't work out. So he had to force himself back in there.
I think that Henry on paper thought he was a really good matchup with Merab, where Merab out-grapples everybody, and he felt that he could hurt him standing, and that he could just, you know, negate the takedown, take away the takedowns with his wrestling ability. But again, and Longo, we've seen this many times where, you know, you'll see Merab doing straight wrestling with a kid and get the guy who hit the best of him. And then also they're sparring and he's taking that guy down at will. And it's an odd thing. There is a difference between MMA wrestling and just straight up collegiate and Olympic wrestling and everything else.
Yeah. Merab said it 100 times, Henry's going to beat him in a wrestling match, but in an MMA wrestling, I don't even think it's close. I mean, I don't know what he did. What he did, I think is absolutely fascinating. And we've seen it for years with him. He's just, you know, I told the story on the Anik podcast yesterday where he really fought Aljo for 3 rounds at 11 o'clock in the morning. I'm mad. It was insane. Like, it's like, that's no shakeout. That was a full fledged fight.
Yeah.
And then he went and fought another 3 rounds at night. But how many times in the gym? I've never seen him do less than 6 rounds. Never.
Well, it's similar to, like, it's in a way, like, if you look at his success and like how calm he is in there as far as the mental state, look at Sean Strickland. Listen, these guys don't share a lot in common, I'm going to say. But what they do have in common is if you take away the spotlight, the money, if for fun, they'll be doing this. Both Sean Strickland and Merab, they fucking love it. You know?
Matt, Strickland is to the stand-up what Merab is to the wrestling. They could go all day long, and they love it, and they play around, and that's what really makes the both of them really good is it's playtime. You know what I mean?
When did Merab come? When did he walk through our doors there? When did you meet up with him in the city? Because I showed you that video on that was before that, when he fought in Albuquerque.
No, he got way before that. I'm going to say 10 years ago. He was probably 21, I think, when he came, and he's 33 now. So
he walked in,
Jimmy couldn't speak English.
I remember that.
This is what I love about Merab, and Matt will back me up on this. His first couple of fights when he lost, I mean, he lost because he didn't have the knowledge. Like, one time he got stuck in mount. That never happened again. You know, then I think he fought Ricky Bandeis. He got taken down. He got out-wrestled bad in that fight. And then he had to make those adjustments. He never let the losses put him backwards. He just got better and better and better. And I think you're seeing a result of really a lot of corrections over the last 10 years. And it's all coming to fruition now, which is great.
Henry Cejudo said something which I thought was very telling and was dangerous for Cejudo. Everyone talks a little shit, but he goes, if I can't beat a predictable fighter like Merab, and I'm like, yeah, I know he's just talking, but I'm like, the fact that he said a predictable, like, he probably really thought Merab was a predictable fighter. And it was a miscalculation on his part. And I think that he thought he matched up, like you said, better than he actually did. And I imagine until you're in there with him dealing with the fact that he just doesn't get tired. That's got to be, it's a different thing when a guy is just not getting tired. And he didn't. It's crazy to watch. It's really crazy. Hard work, plus I'm sure he's born. There's some genetics going on with that too.
No, without a crap. But, you know, it could be, I'm going to say I agree with your genetics, but anybody who knows him, he doesn't stop.
Right.
It's not like, it would really be genetics if he was smoking cigarettes and coming into the gym. But he doesn't do. He's always running. He's
always working.
Doing something. And, you know, as far as the predictability, you're 100% right. You don't know until you get in it because you can't get a guy to replicate that. You know what I'm saying? Over and over again. But it's almost, remember Billy Jack? I'm going to take my left foot
Yeah,
and whack you on the right side of the head, and there's nothing you could fucking do about it. That's Marab. I'm going to throw a punch. I'm going to grab your fucking leg and put you on your ass, and there's nothing you could do about it.
Jimmy, Henry wasn't wrong. The guy is predictable. Yeah. I mean, he called it, but the point is, like Longo just said, you know what he's going to do. How are you going to stop him?
How are you gonna stop him?
I mean, it's easy to say you can stop him. And when you're fresh, like if he worked with him around, maybe he'd be like, all right, I can handle this. But dude, that first round, they probably gave that to Henry. But then.
I thought Henry won the first. I was close. Like, I thought Henry got
that. But to keep that pace, I know personally from, and listen, I know, fuck, I'm going to be 50, but I know personally, I'm bigger than Marab. I know personally from rolling with him, I'm like, this guy just doesn't stop, man. Like you could, in the beginning, put him in all bad positions. He just doesn't stop. So it's like, yo, dude, it's fucking exhausting. I felt like I was back on the VersaClimb of going with the guy.
That's
something you don't know until you feel it, you know?
Yeah, until you deal with it. When you look at the matchups potentially for him, it's either going to be Chito Vera or Sean O'Malley, and I know Marab is offering himself as a backup. You know, obviously there's different challenges with both of those guys. With O'Malley, it's going to be O'Malley has a beautiful strikes and he's got such length. So yeah. Has Marab dealt with anybody with that type of a reach advantage, with that type of a distance advantage who strikes as accurately?
I mean, I don't think so, but, it's a good point. Look, O'Malley, you can't take the guy lightly. Not only is he rangy, he's rangy going backwards, which makes it even worse. It's not like he's coming forward, which I think would, you know, give up his hips a little bit. He could nail you going backwards. And that's not going to be an easy puzzle to figure out, but Marab's going to have to take some punishment. And eventually I think he would just break him down.
Yeah.
And he's got a good chin, Jim. He's definitely got a good chin.
Yes, he does.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Henry landed a great shot on him. I forget when it was, but he looked like he got wobbled at one point, but I'm like,
first round, he got hit with a little left hook. Not bad, but not like crazy. All of Marais. Marais leveled him and he couldn't get rid of him.
Yeah.
And he came back that same round and started beating him up.
Oh yeah. Came back the same round. And then the second round was, but that's a good point. It wasn't even like he came back in the second round. He came back in the first round after that and kind of really, you know, put a stamp on the first round.
And as being a stocky grappler, let me tell you this, Jimmy, when he does close the distance, Marab, that length is going to be a disadvantage.
You
need more space to get back to guard. You make, and those limbs are out there. I mean, that's a problem. So then, and then with him, it's going to be like, all right, man, I got one shot to keep him off me. Now he's on me. Now I can't get him the fuck off me. I mean, think of him with Dotson. Think of him with Jose Aldo up against the cage, working the shit out of him. And I mean, Henry might have got away. But again, when Henry got away, that took a toll with his gas tank, too. So it's like,
yeah.
And as the fight goes on, there'll be a little bit less, you know, popping these punches.
Yeah, without a doubt.
So I'll tell you right now. I think you're going to be looking, I think we're talking about the new champ soon. I mean, I want to see what happens. I mean, with Chito and O'Malley, but I think Longo's getting a fourth champ is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, but wait, hold on a second. But first off, we're both getting a fourth champ. But the thing too is that, you know, I think that, like you said, that length will be a problem. I'll never forget. Remember, like, Matt's jiu-jitsu was phenomenal. But remember when you fought Menjivar? I remember you said his legs were so short, he was getting back to guard easier than anybody because it wasn't much. Yeah. Right?
If no I remember neck.
Right.
It's true.
I also wanted to say, Matt, I think you picked Topuria. They were talking about something during the fight, very interesting. They were saying guys over 35 and up have such a less success fit rate keeping the title and winning the title than guys who are heavier, which they say power is the last thing to go. So that kind of makes sense. Whereas you lose speed with these fucking light guys, you know, a little lighter weight, you lose a fraction of a second. But what an amazing, maybe going up in weight twice drained Volkanovski a little bit, or is it just that there's a new blood, you know, and the new regime is coming. But congratulations to Ilya Topuria. I mean, he did exactly what he said he was going to do. I did not see Volk getting dropped like that. Incredible. And I thought Volkanovski looked pretty good in the first round. I didn't think he had a bad first round, but I actually thought he won the first round. And Topuria, just tremendous, tremendous job.
Yeah, no, I'm going to – yeah, I I like what he was doing. I thought that wasn't Volkanovski. He was almost like doing a Muhammad Ali. He was pot-shotting him with the jab. And, you know, you're taking a short, stocky fire plug. I think he would have been better off meeting fire with fire and trying something else. Because he seemed like he – I don't think he's the best outside fighter, even though you're right. I do think he was winning like that. But I don't think he would be able to sustain it. And I think he was trying to – I think he was trying to bang that arm with his left kick to take away the power of the right hand, yep. Which maybe down the line would have paid off. So I don't know. I like both guys. They're both super nice guys, man. And Volk was a dominating. He's probably going to be the greatest 45er of all time. It's you do get older. You know what I mean? He's coming off a knockout. He's a fighter. So he jumped back in there, but you know, I just hope he's all right. It's two in a row knockouts. It's not like two losses. So he's a great guy. He's got, I love his coach, Joe Lopez.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hope everybody's good. He needs to
take a little time maybe. By the way, Ray, can I give you the stat? This is the stat. Thank you, Jake. I didn't realize it was this. This is the official UFC stat. Fighters 35 and older are 1-22. One win, 22 losses.
Think about it.
Men's weight classes 170 and below in championship bouts. I guess by that point, you've already fought so many times. You fought the top of the division. You know, your body.
Yeah.
That fraction of a second is probably what it is that does. Who is the one win? I would like to guess, but there's just too many fighters to guess.
And Jimmy, the thing with the power too really transfers more over to a heavyweight like a Dan Henderson, a Fedor. They always have that. The lighter guys, like you're bringing up something. The speed is the problem. I had a conversation with a buddy of mine, Scott Lopick. He was a fighter. I'm going to say maybe he fought at like 160, say about that. But he said when he would come back or after a long layoff, and this is I found interesting, and I love the guy. He's brilliant. He said he would spar heavyweights because the speed wasn't there. He said if he sparred guys his own weight class that were already training, he wasn't getting that speed back like that. So he'd have to get in there with the bigger guys so he could see the stuff coming and take his time to get back in there, which I think is smart. It almost goes to like what we're saying now. You know what I mean? Those little guys, it's the speed, it's the age. I mean, you get a guy 25 years old and you're 36. And the guy knows how to fight. It's a big disadvantage.
I'm with
Matt,
you.
How old were you when you won the belt? How old were you, Matt, when you won?
Well, Jimmy, almost more importantly, I was 35 years old when I knocked out Frank Trigg.
So okay. Were you 34?
I thought that you were alluding to me knocking out Frank Trigg unconscious.
Yes, you did.
Now he's a fat man. Now he's in there like a big fat. I not only knocked him out of the UFC, I knocked him into becoming a fat man.
Yeah. Anyway,
enough of that.
Can you leave Frank Trigg alone? I always see him. He's a really nice guy.
Yeah,
he's doing a nice good guy. Job but leave the guy alone. I beat the prick right out of him. You understand? Because after I fought him, I was a little chubby, and he would still, I hear little chubby jokes, and I don't forget that. Now, look at these abs. Look at Longo, look at that. Look at that.
Matt, let me ask you a question. How old were you when you beat GSP? Were you 34?
It was 3 years before I knocked that Frank Trigg. So I was
32. You're 32. Okay.
32. But I don't like to brag about that because GSP is such a nice guy.
Lovely
Frank Trigg's a nice guy now. I'm going to leave him alone.
Yeah.
Longo, I only like to bully the bullies.
Yeah.
That's why I mess with you.
No, I do. He was, Jimmy, growing up, that was him. He was, if you were a bully, it was a problem. That's why you like him and Baroni were like fucking, whatever that water and oil and vinegar, whatever the fuck it is. I mean, they would just ignite. Like it was not even close.
Yeah, I didn't get along with that guy well.
Was he a bully?
Who?
Was he a bully?
Baroni?
Now he's
in jail.
He's in prison.
Yeah. You know, and I'm a husband and a father. So listen, you know, people go their own paths, you know, that they follow their own paths.
We'll be right back. Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. Kings Island is now open weekends.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Hey, guys, really quick, what about Mackenzie Dern's fight? And first of all, what versus, was it Amanda Lemos, right?
Amanda Lemos, yeah.
I thought, first of all, what a great fight. Great fight. I thought Mackenzie Dern should have got the first and the third in that fight. I thought she should have won that fight. It was close. She lost that second round bad because she got hurt. She came back. She did arm lock attempts to sweeps, to mounted. She won that third round. I don't give a shit. But, you know, I might be a little biased being a jiu-jitsu guy.
I'll watch it again, but I remember thinking Lemos won. I was fine with the decision. I don't remember which round, but I remember watching it going, yeah, Amanda definitely got that. So maybe I'll watch it again. Maybe you're right, Matt.
Well, maybe I'm wrong. But, I mean, the judges said the other way. But
yeah, can I tell you?
You know what's funny, Matt, too? I got to talk to her father, and I told him the story. It's actually a true story. So back in the day, Jimmy, there was no jiu-jitsu. Like, it was hard to get jiu-jitsu anywhere. So I was thinking of, you know, you had to bring guys in to do seminars. So I was between Pedro Sauer, who was one of Hickson's black belts, and Megaton Diaz. It was between those two. I told him, and he said, I'm seeing Pedro on Thursday. So we took a picture. I said, look, I love Pedro Sauer. Pedro was a great guy. And I said, mention the name Silvio. He had a friend. We used to have a lot of laughs. And you know, we kind of got out of touch, but man, he'll always hold a special spot. He was a great teacher. He got us off. And then, you know, and then Sarah came around. So I go, what am I going to do? They were, you know, we had to use the big man. He was right in the backyard.
Well, Pedro's a great guy. And he's, he actually cornered against us when I fought his black belt, Jeff Curran.
Yeah. But he's a gentleman. That's what I love about him. That meant like, you know, that wasn't going to impact anything. We just, it was a fight.
Yeah. I mean, if I lost, it would have, but I won.
Yeah.
And let's also, by the way, I think the most impressive performance, because Merab, I assume Merab was going to win that fight. And it went kind of the way I thought. Whitaker against Paulo Costa. I mean, wow, did Whitaker look good. I mean, he's just a guy who will not go away at the top of that division. He's a guy who's always going to be there hanging out. I do think he'll get another title shot. I don't know exactly when, but he's just always there. So congratulations to Whitaker, who fought a great fight. I thought Costa looked good too. That his kicks, I forgot how amazingly smooth his kicking is and how beautiful that left kick to the head is. And the fact that Whitaker survived that, which, by the way, shows you the power of Izzy, that he actually stopped Whitaker and knocked him out. I mean, Whitaker is not an easy guy to put away. So what a great fight, man. What a great performance.
Yeah, I thought great fight. And again, you know, it's I'm not saying it's the same thing, but to see Costa, like, because he's the way he's built, get that leg up to his head with that power. Jimmy, it's almost, now I'm not saying it is, but kind of reminiscent of Krokop almost. You know what I mean? Like, those kicks were firing up there. But he caught me by surprise when I was watching the fight. You know, it's one of those fights. Whitaker did a great job. I mean, he was blitzing him. He couldn't handle the straight, you know, the coming running down the pipe stuff. But, you know, he did hurt him with the kick. I thought it was almost like Whitaker 100% won the fight. It was almost like no winner or loser, because Paulo Costa did show up, and that's what made that fight. You know, because sometimes you don't know what you get with him, but two guys really going at it. And I said after the first round, we were watching it in the back, I go, this is going to be good, because they could both take each other's shots. Like, they're not going away for either of them. So it comes down the gas tank at that point. And I think Whitaker, you know, because he carries less muscle, is definitely going to always win that battle.
And Ian Garry fought very well against Jeff Neal. Jeff just was a little sluggish or slow compared to Garry. I'm not saying he wasn't prepared. I just, Gary's speed and just had such beautiful movement. But I found in the third round, and again, I would probably do the same thing if I was up 2-0, but I felt he stayed away from Jeff Neal a lot more than I wanted him to watching a fight. And again, maybe it was the smart thing to do, but it just seemed like he was kind of circling on the outside, knowing he was up 2-0, which I didn't really like, but, you know, he clearly won the fight. So, you know, like, well done.
I like Saif Saeed,
the coach. Oh, don't dap him up.
Oh, stop. You know, and Mongo doesn't like that shit either. When they're sitting
there. What did he say? Don't
dap him up. Like, don't, the high five, just stop it with that shit. They kept doing it.
I don't like that either, man. Because you know what it is? It puts the other guy more at ease. Like, hey, man, all right, we're having fun. Let's do a sparring session. Instead, I remember one time Scott Smith was fighting Nick Diaz. And Scott Smith was like a hard hitter, but he's a bit of like a bonehead. Nice guy.
Nice guy. Good, really nice guy.
Not a bonehead in like a weird way, but like just like a big lughead, like in a nice way, you know? And so during the fight, like, you see him like in the third round trying to touch Diaz's head. He's like, oh, come on, man. Just, and Diaz is like, you know, fuck you. And just, and he's just, you've seen Scott's like almost get like hurt by it. Like, oh man, this guy's not even playing along. So, and then, you know, and then he got stopped. So it's like, you know, why put somebody at ease? You know, it's one thing to touch hands at the beginning of a round, but that whole hugging and high fiving during it.
How about after a groin shot? Like, is that okay to do? Like, after an eye poke or a groin shot, when a guy taps and just, like, it's kind of his quick apology. That's fine, right?
It's like, my bad.
That shit. I go with that. But, you know, we saw it with Scott Smith and Drago. Remember, they were high-fiving each other, beating the piss out of each other. They did the same shit. I never liked it. I'm with you. I always go back to season 4 when you guys were in the van and you said something, and they got Scott Smith. He's trying not to laugh, but he's smirking. I'll never forget the look on his face. He was a really nice guy.
Oh, we had a fun time on that tough floor.
Yeah. And, also, I think, again, Matt, you know how I love a good leg brutalizing. It's painful. I've had fighters demonstrate on me, and it's just, you can't understand how painful it is until somebody kicks you in the leg. It really is horrendous. And Junior Tafa, who stepped in for his brother very last minute against Marcos Rogério de Lima. Ooh, does de Lima kick the legs?
No, it sucks now. Now you got both brothers on crutches. Because Tafa, you're a prick. Longo, don't laugh at that. His brother had to come and take out. He had to drop out of the fight because he hurt his knee. And then his brother took the fight and he's got his fucking leg kicked off. This is horrible. This is
foul. The hell is really, what the fuck is the matter with you? Holy crap. I say, Jimmy, I'm with you with the leg kick, but I'm going to tell you something. So from the knee up, I'm with you. I've never been kicked in the calf like that. They just didn't. Nobody was doing it back then. I think, I don't know how that feels, but even the thigh used to be a problem.
Yeah, I was talking about the thigh too. Like, John Jones demonstrated something to me, and it was like he was cutting weight for, it was like fight week, and he put his shin in my upper thigh. I asked him to, and I'm not kidding when I think I thought I was gonna shit my pants. Like, your body just goes into shock. It's such an agony. I thought I was gonna puke. So yeah, you're right.
When Yeah, especially when there's no adrenaline running, Jimmy, because I used to do that to people all the time. But tap them. I used to tap them with my shin because it's like 4 inches above the knee is the worst spot to get hit, I think.
Yep.
And if you hit that femoral nerve, right, I think it was called, dude, the people just start limping. Like, and you're going at, I would hit people at 10%. So it wasn't like a shot. Just I'm going to let you know what it feels like light. And, dude, it's brutal if you hit that nerve right, but, you know.
Hey, Longo, Jimmy said when it happened to him, he came. And I go, dude, that's not normal. You know, I don't know what you do with the.
It's my body defending myself. I think there's a fire, so fluid just shoots out. Yeah, hey, there's a great video, too.
It's worse if you came and shit yourself at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if that's possible.
There was a great, there's a video of Fabricio Werdum kicking a reporter. Somebody was doing a story on him, and I guess they had talked about it, and he just, I think Werdum kicked him too hard. He probably threw like a 40 or 30% kick, like whereas Jones did by 10 or 15 to me, and it still hurt. But I mean, the guy went down, and it's like you really lose your ability to breathe. And you're right, maybe it's because there's no adrenaline going, and the fact that I'm not used to it, and the fact that it was John Jones. But it's a, this way, watch this kick.
You know, those are brutal.
And the guy just lays on his back. I know that feeling. It's like you don't know how, you forget how to breathe.
That guy's not a fighter. Look at him. You know? That
guy. Hey, Jimmy, I'll tell you that years ago, when Weidman first walked in the gym, there was one day he comes in. I go, look, today we're going to do something called pain tolerance day. And I go, you got to take the leg kick. So I'm kicking his leg. And then he goes, well, now I go to you. I go, no, that's not the way it works. He wanted to get me back. Sorry. It was pain appreciation day. I'm sorry. Yeah. I said that wrong. I used to do a thing. Listen, we're going to do a little pain appreciation day. And it's fucking funny.
Well, he doesn't get to do it to you. It's like when you go to the doctor after your prostate check, you don't throw the doctor on and go, all right, now I get to finger your ass. It's a one-way street. That's how it works.
Hey, guys, what about, now listen, I'm not thinking this guy's doing this for a challenge, or he's doing this because he thinks he matches up well. I think he's doing this so somebody will root for him. Ian Gary's calling out Colby Covington. I think this might be the first time somebody's going to be rooting for Ian Gary. Because the guy's not getting a lot of love. And the only guy hated more is that dipshit Colby Covington. So I think he's making a smart move because Colby's got a foot out the door anyway. He looked like shit in his last fight.
He looked bad,
Leon Edwards.
Yeah.
Leon Edwards has a similar.
You're right.
So I think Ian Gary, I think that's brilliant that he's calling out Colby.
So we talked about that the other day, but it's brilliant because, like, you're right. If you're getting booed and you want to get some applause, that's the perfect guy.
That's it.
You know you're going to get back on track with that guy. Forget about the fighting, but you'll definitely get the fans back on.
Yeah, it's a great point too, Matt. Maybe he does. And Colby's 5 and he's 10, so it's not like he's trying to take a guy lower than him. Colby had called out Wonder Boy, but at this point with Gary on his way up, and especially after this win, that might be the better fight for Colby if he's looking strategically. Not easier fight, but I mean as far as like the fight of the guy who's on his way up. I think that's also could be a tough fight for Gary too. Colby Covington, as much as I find him irritating, is still a good fighter. And he's still a dangerous fighter, and he still has a great gas tank. He didn't look as good against Leon. It'll be interesting to see how he looks now that he doesn't have that amount of time off. Did that hurt him the same way? Did it hurt Paulo Costa? Who knows? But that's not an easy fight for anybody. Colby is
I agree. I'd like to see Wonder Boy and Gary. I think that would be an exciting fight for the fans.
Love to see that.
I'd love to see that. You know, you kind of take out that wrestling component, let them just bang it out and see what happens.
Yeah, well, we'll see if we're taking out the wrestling, you know. With that fight, if Ian Gary's not going to start to work his jujitsu then, you know what I mean? Because I think Wonder Boy's got a way of making everybody look silly standing. Like,
He's
good. That one thing with Anthony Pettis, which is, you know, whatever.
But he was winning that fight.
And he was winning that fight.
Yeah.
You look at the guys he fought standing up, and he's just so good, Wonder Boy. And you know what? I don't think Wonder Boy should take a fight with Colby, because who the hell wants, I mean, not for anything. You know, you got to have a whole 2 months of this guy calling you like a pedophile and this and that. I mean, you know what I mean? He's a piece of shit, Colby.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit.
Why would you want to even deal with that? Like, why would you want to deal with a guy that's going to be just like, you're going to be hearing it. Why even have to hear it? Why? This guy's going to be going off into the sunset with hope. I mean, I don't know how much. I don't think he's got money to live off of if he's going to Colby. I don't think he's paid that much. And he's just going to be like a hated dude throughout the fucking earth.
You know, yeah, there's something things. There's something very weird about him that doesn't feel genuine. That's the thing. Whereas with other guys, it feels genuine. And with him, it just, there's not that redemption after he loses. Just as a fan, I can tell you that Connor, for all the shit that he talks, when he loses, you'll see him going, yeah, he was the better man tonight. He beat me. Like, there's something about that that you like, the guy lost the fight and he addresses that he lost the fight. Whereas with Colby, he stands here after that, obviously, it very one-sided Leon loss and goes, I think I won the fight. And it's just like, I can't even enjoy that as a bad guy. I can't even enjoy that as a heel.
1,000,000%. I mean, I say the same thing. I really respected Connor. I think after his first loss, you know, it was hard for him to suck it up, but he handled that like a fighter, because he is a fighter and he knows the realities of fighting. And that's one of them. You get caught, you lose, but I agree with you. Connor, I thought that was a really redeeming part. One of the redeeming parts is he was great in defeat.
Yes, he took a loss.
I want to see Connor in the new Roadhouse movie, but I think it's funny when people are saying how great an actor he is. He's being himself. He's being an out of control fighter that looks like Kyle's. He's being himself, dude. What the fuck? You know, I don't know, but it's funny though. I mean, listen, I think it looks like it's well done, and I like that Jake fucking whatever his name is,
Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, man. I'm gonna watch it. You know?
I don't think that fight with Chandler is going to happen. And I haven't thought that, because again, Connor is just like Dana alluded to it. He's rich. He's got too much money. And if you're doing movies and promotion and they're flying your first class somewhere, it's hard to get yourself, I'm sure, to get back into the fucking, not USADA, but whatever it is, and train again and have to deal with a fucking little fireplug animal like Michael Chandler when you've got $500 million in the bank. It's probably a tough sell to yourself.
Yeah, and you know, Jimmy, those movies, they're sitting around the fucking waiting. I don't give a crap who you are. It's going to take a toll on you. I don't give a shit, man. So I agree.
Maybe I'll excuse myself. Mr. The movie stars are talking. Go ahead, Longo. Go ahead. Talk about the movie sets, guys. Longo's been doing some movies. Go ahead. Do tell. I don't know what it's like on the set.
Jimmy, am I right or wrong?
Jimmy, go ahead. Tell me.
You're from one, let's just say, actor to another, right? You're totally right. As we know, being in the trailer and on the set, gentlemen's accommodations, guys, craft services, the food is right there. Ooh, a cookie. A fucking cookie. It's right there.
Jimmy, 100%. I don't want to be that guy, but I just did a little something a couple of months ago. You're eating it. It's not even that. I went in at 4:30 in the afternoon and left at 6 o'clock in the morning. So I'm eating Snickers bars at like 5 o'clock in the morning. It's brutal. I think it's the most unhealthy, worst thing I could ever think of. That's for my opinion. And unlike you, Jimmy, I don't even get a trailer. So I'm stuck out there with just.
Oh, no. I was actually speculating with actors. I've seen guys in trailers. I sit outside and I was just pretending that I got one. I was lying.
Longo, what set was this? What do you got coming out? Talk to us.
I don't know. It was a little, I just did it like a fave. I'm not even. I don't even know what the name of it is.
Well, I'm sure the director and the producer is very happy that you're on this podcast, not plugging
it. Yeah, no, I don't. I really, you know, it's right after my. Yeah, I shit the bed. I had a great role. I was a bouncer at a club, and I screwed everything
up. I'm gonna plug it when you.
No, I don't even know what it is. We'll plug it another time.
We'll plug it another time.
Hey, Marvin Hagler, by the way, thank you, Jake. This is the quote. Marvin Hagler said, it's tough to get out of bed and do road work at 5 a.m. when you're sleeping in silk pajamas.
Oh, who said that? John Danaher?
Marvin Hagler.
Oh. I thought Danaher said that. I heard that before.
Yeah, it's Marvin Hagler.
I love John Danaher. I miss him. but that's a true fucking quote.
Yeah.
Oh, Longo's appearance is in the film Caper, David the Bouncer. How does our producer get that?
Oh, yeah, it was Caper. That's the name of it. Yeah.
Longo?
I didn't do anything. Yeah.
Who starred in it?
How did our producer find that?
IMDb.
IMDb? You're on that, Longo? I don't know. Dude, I need a new agent.
You know, Jimmy, I'd like to have fun. I don't put a lot of emphasis on stuff. I don't even,
you just show up and do it, Ray. You do your lines, you leave, you whatever. Whatever they do with it, they do with it. That's their business.
No, it was the first time I was prepared, and they changed every fucking line there was. All right, get this guy out of here. I don't like any attention.
I'm going to read what Mongo's in. Go back. Go down. No, go the other way. Oh, here we go. Mongo, you were in The Last Operative, Love, Lies, and Larceny.
I was good.
Kevin can wait. And I'm not to do your line, but I'm going to paraphrase. Harry Connick likes the freaking lasagna. I could have done that. I'm sorry. You do it better. And the Brooklyn Banker. I went to the premiere.
Thank you, Kevin.
Look at this guy.
Big shout out to Kevin James and Mike Resigliano. They helped me out.
So wait, yeah. Paper, you're playing David the Bouncer. This is wild.
Who's the star?
Jimmy? I really.
Oh, you don't know? Okay, yeah.
Jimmy, don't put them on there.
I'll tell you, it was a bunch of great guys, but I know the guy that was directing it did The Godfather of Harlem. I forget. He's a really nice guy from Jersey. He did like 10 episodes. I think he's an up and coming guy. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't like talking because I'm really a joke when I'm in there. It's not an actor, but I have fun with it, you know?
What about the evolution of Marab? Being stuck on the local circuit.
Yeah.
I mean, UFC, biggest fight ever, an Olympian cannot hold him down.
Yeah. If you really go back and look at that, Matt, it's absolutely phenomenal what he did.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's really, really good. So I mean, he made the adjustments.
And how many takedowns did Henry have? How many did he have? Do you know?
I don't think he had any. I think Marab slipped. And if I got to rewatch the fight, when I'm in there, I'm just zoned out.
I thought he was down once, but I might be wrong. I don't remember. Yeah, my memory is really is going very, very quickly. And also, by the way, congratulations to Vanderlei Silva being announced in the Hall of Fame. I was just watching for some odd reason the day before his confrontation with Chael, and how Chael said that he was the one guy at one point that he didn't like, because he felt like he didn't understand the back and forth dynamics of selling a fight. And Chael raised a point. He said, I had to tell his team during this shooting, if he attacks me, I'm the bad guy. If he attacks me and it's all you guys and just me, now there's sympathy for me. He goes, you don't want there to be sympathy for me. Like, he wanted that dynamic. Chael was a very smart guy selling fights, and he seems to be the guy that everybody wants to be.
No, but not just Chael. That. Not just that. First of all, can I just throw this in really quick? And Chael, sure. I get along with Chael. I mean, we're not, I don't call him on a regular, but when I see him, it's a friendly, we're acquaintances, I like Chael. This is what I'm going to say about Chael. It took major balls at that time for him to go to Brazil to
film. Yes.
You're right.
I personally was worried about the guy, and I wasn't friends with him. I was like, dude, that's scary to go over there, because they really hate
him. That's right.
If you look on that set, and this is what I like about Chael. Because you could say you're a gangster all day long, but then when you're in a situation like that, he handled himself like a true gangster. Vanderlei was in his face. He knew there was a certain point where, okay, Vanderlei doesn't care, because Vanderlei is as real as it gets. Like, he'll fight in the street. There's guys that they give a shit and not want to blow the production here, and there's other guys that don't give a shit. Now I got you alone. I'm gonna fucking smack you. That's Vanderlei. So Vanderlei, in that first meeting, and I've had meetings, I had the same thing. Me and Matt Hughes, they put us in the room in the beginning of the thing, and Ronda Rousey, Misha Tate, they do that for ratings on these shows, because they wanted to have the first thing. Oh, they're going to fight eventually. Here they are themselves. I guarantee they didn't know that they're going to be the only two in the gym at that time. That's how it works. That's how it was with me and Matt Hughes. So what happened was, when they started talking, and Chael, what do you call it, saying he can't wait. Next thing you know, at a certain point, the arm's length, within arm's length. And that's the first person to make contact is Chael Sonnen.
He pushed him.
I can't let you get close. You'll hear Joe Rogan talk, and I've heard guys talk about this, why a sucker punch is so deadly and so dangerous, is because reaction time compared to action time, there's a difference there. So if your reaction time, by the time I go to hit you, by the time you go to react, it might be too late. You're on the floor. Chael knows this, as it's just a street fighting one-on-one. So when he was in his clothes, getting in his face, he pushed him. And now we're squared up, because otherwise, I'm not knowing when it's coming. So that was
right.
Smart of Chad. And then Vandalay got aggressive. What did he do? He took him right down. I love that. I mean, he got broken up and jumped. But that is something where Chael could do all the great lines, rehearse this and that. That's something you can't fake. You know what I mean? Because Chael is the real deal.
No, I agree. You're right. 100%, but a real sucker punch is you don't even see it. You're talking to somebody and then you get hit. That's the worst of the worst. But
that's why
at least the guy's in front of you. I agree with what you're saying, but it's a little different than it's just more of a cheap shot.
That's or a cheap shot. Yeah, exactly. I'm saying a sucker punch as a cheap shot, but a sucker punch is maybe somebody coming to the side and getting you, but a cheap shot's a cheap shot. You know?
And
Chael wasn't caught with that. He wasn't going to get caught with that.
You know what's funny, Matt? So I was talking to John Wood, and we were talking about like the old gyms, like I told you, like a Cardinal Prez. But I said, what about Vandalay's gym? You know, we're having a conversation. Go, yeah, it didn't. Whatever it was, we get out of the elevator. Who's there? Vandalay. Wow, that is. Like they think we manifested seeing them, but then as the day went on, I go, oh, they got to be putting them in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
I didn't know, but imagine that we're talking about them, get out of the elevator, and he's staring at you.
Yeah, because you know when we went and we were getting ready, you know, for our favorite fight, that Frank Trigg fight, we were using Vandalay's gym.
Yeah.
Where is it?
I know I was in there with Aya Quinter a couple of times.
With me.
Oh, yeah.
There's a film of it of me, you, and Drywall working in there. He had something filming for him. And
you're right. 100%. 100%. Yeah.
I remember saying goodbye to him on camera and this and that. He was always cool with Vandalay.
No, where's his gym? Where is it?
Super nice guy.
It was. He had like one of those, like they have like the extreme. That Randy Couture's, what do they call Eric?
Extreme Couture, yeah.
Extreme Couture. They have Syndicate, where Bob is at now. And they have, and then they had Vandalay was over there too. You know what I mean? So Vandalay had his thing over there. Yeah. And then I guess it closed down. I think he's in Brazil now, Vandalay, isn't he?
Yeah.
I don't think he's in the States, but what the fuck do I know?
Yeah,
I think he's.
But I'm happy to see him get that because he is. You know, that guy deserves to be in there.
Who didn't love watching that guy fight?
And you mentioned Crow Cop before. I mean, what a thing of beauty to watch him. And I remember when he came into the UFC and he took all, it was Gabriel Gonzaga. Do you remember Gonzaga?
Oh, yeah. He was
beat him
one day. Yeah.
Oh, you saw? Yeah, he was like a tank.
Yeah, he was a tank. 100%.
I was there live when he head kicked him in London or Manchester.
Wow.
Oh, is that where that fight was, where the Crow Cop fight was?
Yes. It was either London or Manchester because it was less than a month after I won the belt. So I was over there watching.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, you know why? Because you're
2007.
Right. You're 100% right. Because when we opened up that gym in Garden City that time, that's where I saw Gonzaga came in for some reason. I think he was training in New Hampshire or he might have had a school.
Yeah, I think he still does. I think he still has a school out there. I see him doing some jiu-jitsu stuff on Instagram.
I like Gonzaga. Oh, wait, Gonzaga does?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That Crow Cop fight was not. It couldn't have been 2007.
Vinny, no. I'm not lying to you. 2007. Check it out.
Oh, that was part.
How about I'll bet you anything on it?
Oh, my God. I just can't believe. Who won the second fight? It was, Crow Cop was. He knocked out Gonzaga in the second fight.
Oh, he did, huh? Nobody remembers.
Yeah, they fought twice. Yeah. No, you're right. It was the first. That was 2015.
First fight was a head kick.
Yes, it was. It just crumbled him.
Jimmy, he's good with the dates. People ask questions. How crazy is that?
Wow.
How crazy? 2007.
I was 32 and I'm 49 now. So that was a bit.
I can't believe it because it's 17 years ago. Like, I didn't realize I'd been watching MMA for that long. Like, it just seems like if you would have said that was 2013, I would have said that makes more sense. 2014.
Guys, yeah, I
remember because I was a young man at 50. But my life is going down this shitter quick, man.
Longo looks good though. Longo looks good.
Yes, you do.
He's about to get his fourth champion. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Well, Ray, look, I mean, this was I was so happy having you on as always. Come on more often. I wish you were on more, you know.
Oh, damn. I'm always available for you guys for sure. You know, you guys, I love both of you. And Jimmy, congrats on all your success. Love hearing you on Rogan. Jimmy, look, you're one of those guys. I don't think you could do anything wrong because you're such a nice guy. Like, I mean, I always tell people, I would always try to get him to say something bad about Sarah at the beginning. He wasn't even biting. Like, you're a good dude. Whatever you do, I know your little friend there supports you, and I support the both of you guys.
Thank you. But if you want to hear something bad about Sarah, I'll email it to you. I won't say anything bad about Matt, but I will email you my thoughts. Need to have a few.
Jimmy, listen, let me just say, never put anything in writing.
That's right. Yeah, you're right.
Let's do some congratulations first to Ray Longo on his great work. And to Marab, to the new champion, Ilya Topuria.
Yeah, really. Unbelievable.
I mean, that guy, I'll tell you right now, talk about positive thinking and attitude, and it was very emotional. If you watch online, you'll see some of his family back home watching. It's really beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful. Yeah,
there's something about those Georgians. They're just nice people. Really
great people. Literally great people.
Yeah, tremendous job by him. And I think again, 27 years old. And by the way, just to correct a stat from before, one win, 22 losses, guys over 35, but it's when they're facing a younger opponent. So obviously.
That makes it better. Yeah, that's great.
But thanks, Ray. It's always so good to have you. And congrats on Marab. I mean, it was a really, really great performance against a very, very dangerous guy with knockout power. And he earned himself a championship fight. He earned himself a title shot, which he had earned himself a title shot, a year and a half, 2 years ago.
100%. So, I agree. And real quickly, I'm not going to spend the time getting out of here. But I do think, too, I meant to mention this. I think it's going to go down as one of the greatest human interest stories in MMA, the fact that he refused to fight his friend. They went against the machine. Yep. They both paid the price for it, but they persevered, and they're both doing really good. And Marab, even if it ended today, it's a great story on how they never broke that friendship, which, Jimmy, in this life, if you have one or two good friends, that's huge, man. A lot of people will never get that. They'll never understand it. But with that, I'm out of here. Love you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Good seeing you, buddy.
I'll call you later.
Talk to you later, Longo. And Jimmy,
take care, Jimmy. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Ray. We love you. Thanks for coming on, pal.
Thank you, Longo.
Matt, I will talk to you. I just want to tell people Wednesday night, Fat Black Pussycat. And this Friday, I'm in Connecticut. Saturday in New Jersey is sold out. Come see me in Ridgefield, Connecticut, or in New York Wednesday night.
Buddy, 2 days is almost too long.
I know. I can't wait. I'll be practicing my Kimuras.
Yeah, to end it on that note. Jimmy, and when I'm back, we are training together.
Really want to.
I'm going to make a day to come to the city.
I would love that.
Maybe I'll find out when there's a women's class. I'll bring Angie with me.
Sure.
We'll jump in there. Me and you will work to the side, you know?
Okay. Or I'll even come, because we usually train on the third floor. Okay. I'll even come out to Long Island one time, too. It's just a matter of like maybe we could do dinner after. Come out, do night class, and then dinner something.
Yeah, right. Bring the wife, whatever you want to do. Bring Nikki. All right, man. Jimmy, talk to you in a couple days, bro.
Thanks, pal. See you soon.
Bye, buddy.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.